Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Welcome to New Books Network. I'm Yadum Sulongkumar, the host of this channel. And today I'm here with Dr. Nupurnima Yadav to talk about her book, Astrology in India, a Sociological Inquiry. And I think astrology is something in India, astrology is something which is very much popular. And I think it is something which is very much talked about. And it's a very interesting topic in itself. And people obviously have worked on it. But then I think the author herself brings about something very important and some very new insights to the very study of astrology in India. So I think the book itself, as I went through and as I read the book, it was for me personally a learning experience for me as I was going through the book. And I think I have learned a lot. Personally, I haven't had the time and the resource to kind of delve into astrology and its studies and all. But then I've always had interest in the religious aspect of Hinduism and also wanted to know more about astrology. And I think this book gives a very good overview of what astrology is in India and how people practice it and how people live by it, what are the uses of it, and you know what are the dynamics and the conceptual aspects that are there in astrology itself. So without much ado, let's come to the author herself and we'll delve into her profile and the book itself. So let me come to the author, Dr. Yadav. So tell me something about yourself, your background. Yeah.
Thank you for having me for this discussion today. Well, I'm Dr. Nupurnima Yadav. I come from a small district in Haryana by the name of Patodi. I pursued my bachelor honors from Delhi University. After that, I pursued my master's, MPhil, and my doctorate degree from the Center for the Study of Social System, Jawaharlal Nehru University. During my MPhil, I think by the time I was finishing my MPhil, I was awarded a junior research fellowship, which was later enhanced to senior research fellowship during my doctoral coursework. I'm currently teaching at Sri Venkateshwar College, Department of Sociology, Delhi University. I've previously taught at Ambedkar University. I have taught in the capacity of teaching assistant at Young India Fellowship Program, Ashoka University, where I have assisted Professor Bitte. Besides teaching, I've also been involved in research works with organizations like UNICEF, Delhi government, startup like Edulogger and Newsed. My recent publication last year has been quite fruitful for me in terms of academic progress. I was able to publish two works. One is a textbook, which is co-authored as Sociology in India. And the book that we are discussing today is Astrology in India, a Sociological Inquiry, is a product of, if I can call it that way, is a product of my doctoral research. So this is to give like a brief introduction of who I am, what I've done. So this kind of, I hope it has given you a brief idea.
Yeah. That's very good. And you said that the book Astrology in India, Sociological Inquiries was part of your doctoral research. So tell me something about the background of the book itself. So during your doctoral research, I mean, how did you come across this very topic and what made you interested in the topic? And, you know, what were the ways you went to doing research in this very area? Yeah.
So for my MPhil, before doctoral research, I've also done my MPhil. During my MPhil research, usually now MPhil has been scrapped in NEP, but earlier it was a part of research programs. Now MPhil programs usually are a prerequisite to PhD. They were rather a prerequisite to your doctoral programs in both Delhi University and Jawaharlal Nehru University. So during my MPhil coursework, I was interested in how there is this interplay of faith and fear in religion. So this was one of a connecting point for me to pursue my doctoral research around the phenomena of astrology. And if I recall it correctly, I remember that, you know, during the time when I wanted to get my synopsis or proposal approved, we had a meeting for approval. We used to have, I'm sure the practice continues, we used to always have this meeting of getting your synopsis approved by the committee of members, which was, in which all the available professors used to participate in that committee, before any kind of synopsis or proposal of research, you know, would get approved. So remember the time I had decided to pursue this this area of inquiry on astrology, I had received a flak. How can you study something that is, it's absolutely absurd. It's a pseudoscience. Are you talking about futurology here? What about astrology? You want to, you know, and how will you, another thing that becomes a very, very important factor in almost all research works is like, how will you, you're interested in researching upon a topic, but how will you sort of locate it within the premises of sociology? You know, how can you, it's a pseudoscience, how? And at that point in time, I still remember I was almost, I was flushed, I was red because I had to, I wanted to do research in the area I was deeply interested in and, quite passionate about astrology because I wanted to locate it, sociologically. My interest in it also started developing after, my friends would read about their zodiac signs and, would try to figure out how do people of a particular zodiac sign would behave, things like that. But for my doctoral work, I wanted to pursue it more pragmatically. And more, I wanted to have an empirical research around astrology. What is astrology? Particularly, we're talking about astrology, like, so how would I want to study astrology? So yes, this was a trigger point, both my inquisition around the subject, and also somewhere, in order to orient it with my previous research around interplay of faith and fear in religion, how interplay of faith and fear works. So this kind of propelled me to opt for, a research around the phenomenon of astrology.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that a topic which during your PhD work or during your early career in your research, which was being flagged, has become so much important today in terms of research and in terms of its capability in trying to understand the people, in terms of understanding Hinduism and the community and the people itself. So I think that's something which is very interesting that you have pointed out in that sense. So before going into the contents of the book, I wanted to ask again about some of the backdrops of the book. And one thing that I wanted to ask was this one. You have chosen North Delhi, South Delhi, and Gurgaon for your interviews and your data collection. So why these three places specifically?
See, when you're talking about methodology, I'll get into the methodology part of it. It's very important to understand the positionality of the researcher as well. Mm-hmm. So where I'm located, so somewhere I wanted to also understand astrology reflexively pertaining to my location. I reside in Gurgaon. However, I have had my institutions in South Delhi, JNU, Jawaharlal Nehru University, IIT. So the South Delhi is you know has prominent institutions, particularly. So South Delhi, Gurgaon, because I reside, South Delhi, because my institution was in South Delhi. Then, you know, before I actually formally began with my research, there's a lot of preliminary research that goes into any kind of work. You know, you have to do the preliminary work. And during my preliminary research, there used to be this annual festival around astrology that that used to take place in Pragati Maidan. It was an annual affair, annual festival, if I can call it that, like a mela used to happen in Pragati Maidan. And it used to always take place around February or March. So my preliminary groundwork actually began from that particular festival where I would go and, you know, just simply observe people, try to, you know, interact with present astrologers who were providing their consultations. So at that point in time, I identified that most of the astrologers who were participating in this festival were coming from North Delhi, or they had their offices or their residences in North Delhi. And this is why, you know, the North Delhi location came into the research.
Yeah, that's quite a good explanation on that one. So let's move into the contents of the book itself. And I think this is where I would like to divide my questions into two parts. One is the conceptual aspect of it, and one is the lived aspect of it. So for me, I would like to delve into the conceptual aspect of it. And so my first question would be to be very clear about what we are talking about. What really is astrology? What is astrology? Yeah.
So, you know, if I begin my inquiry, it was one of the very primary objective of the research that was to identify what is astrology, you know. And anthropologically, I was carrying a lot of understanding around Malinowski's work of magic, science, and religion. But I wanted to, you know, the first thing that struck me was, should I really begin with, you know, situating astrology within the premises of magic? Or should I situate it within the premises of religion? Because, you know, Hindu, all the deities, the planetary deities are associated with Hindu deities. Or should I really look into it as something that is scientific? Because most of the responses that I was getting from people and, you know, internet, there was so much of content on internet and documents. And I also, you know, subscribed to various Hindu magazines, astrological magazines. And all of these magazines and most, I would not say all of these, most of these magazines and most of the preliminary data kind of suggested astrology to be somewhat related to scientific inquiry. You know, it's about, it's systematic, it's methodical. So therefore, you know, it kind of shares its premises with the science. So conceptually, I wanted to understand it both through positivism. You know, I borrowed from Durkheimian understanding of looking at astrology, a functional aspect of society and astrology. So the very first part was to identify the meanings of astrology. And a wholesome or the, you know, a holistic understanding of astrology would only emerge if I take into consideration the meanings of all the stakeholders who are involved. So that meant the meanings of astrology of believers who believe in astrology. That means also including understanding of people who do not believe in astrology. Also taking into consideration how practitioners, that is astrologers, how they understand astrology. And finally, how scientists and other people, you know, who are also, who form a part of non-believers itself, how, you know, how they look at astrology. So through positivism and along with the, you know, borrowing from theoretical framework of phenomenology. Now, positivism and phenomenology, they both are at the, you know, extreme end of the spectrum. You know, both diagonally opposite. But it was also a somewhere, an attempt to integrate different theoretical perspectives in order to understand and provide for a thicker description, borrowing from Geertz, a thicker description of a phenomena that requires a lot of, analysis. Because I remember when I was doing my secondary review, there was very, very extremely limited literature around astrology. A couple of articles by Judy Pugh. Adorno had almost negated the idea of astrology as, and calling it as pseudoscience. Very, very limited. Only anthropological works, there were some mentions of astrology, because there used to be some fascination with respect to future. But sociology was very, very limited understanding of astrology within the discipline knowledge of sociology. So conceptually, I wanted to first understand the meanings. So the very first attempt that I made was to identify the definitions, the understanding. And the meanings that I mentioned came from believers, non-believers, practitioners. So this by this understanding, I also included phenomenological aspect of identifying how people's experiences, it helps in creating a consciousness around a particular phenomena.
Quite interesting when you mention about the scientific aspect of astrology, because as I've kind of roughly understood it, it has to do with the planet deities, much to do with the planet deities. And when you talk about the solar system, the planetary movement and all, then it has to do with the sciences also. So does it mean that a person who does astrology needs to be updated with the scientific materials that are coming out on planetary aspects?
So if I try to make a distinction here, I'll begin that astronomy and astrology are very, very different. And also I want to mention here that when I was interested in doing my study around astrology in India, it was also very pertinent for me to learn the astrological symbols. Now, astrology in India is predominantly practiced as Jyotish Gyan. And therefore, it was imperative for me to also understand the various elements of this Jyotish and not only, kind of restrict myself to the Western or the European understanding of astrology with respect to 12 zodiacs, because Indian astrology is very detailed. So I remember on the insistence of my supervisor, Professor Nilika Mehrotra, I underwent a 6 months of elementary basic course on astrology to actually first get to know of what kind of symbols I will be, dealing with, and why astrology in India is not as astrology in Western countries. So here I identify that astrology in India, like if I can go back to Malinowski and conceptual understanding of, to look at magic, science and religion aspect in a particular society or, about a particular phenomena. I feel that astrology is neither, it's neither of these three. It's not magic, it's not science, it's not religion. Technically, it's a very sound knowledge system. And to understand this knowledge system, you also have to undergo a rigorous training to acquire, the real, I think you actually have to undergo a rigorous training to understand the meanings of the symbols which are associated with this field. Other aspects of my research were also to look into the aspects of contestation and consumption. So the research discusses, it begins with discussing the meanings around astrology, meanings of astrology, and it progresses to look into the contestation around this phenomena. Why is it rejected? Why is it, you know, relegated to the margins, or and again, very important that how it has now become a very significant part of our daily lives, where there is an increased steep rise in consumerism around astrology, and especially during the COVID period, where there used to be several applications and websites that used to come up, and many of these websites also recorded a very high turnover by the end of 2020, because the uncertain times, the anxiety led people to look for solutions which were not available through the other means of, let's say, reasoning, or you may refer to it as rationality. So people were looking at these alternative mechanisms of, if I may refer to it as, well-being, because they were associating astrology with something that would help them, first of all, identify and detect the problem, and eventually also give them some kind of remedial procedures to rectify those, the problem areas in their life.
Yeah, I was quite interested in the thing that you mentioned about astrology being a very detailed process in India, and that you need to go through rigorous training to understand those processes and all. So obviously, all of this knowledge is coming from something. I mean, the background, texts or cultural history. So can you tell us something about the texts that are associated with astrology and that people refer to the historical aspect of it? Yeah.
See, astrology, everywhere in India, it thrives on religion. Like Hinduism, Jyotish also believes in several gods and deities. It's also polytheistic in nature. So origin of planetary deities can be traced back to, those initial Hindu writings of second millennium BC. Max Müller has mentioned in his works. Rig Veda also speaks of, obviously there is no explicit references to planets or planetary deities in Rig Veda, but there are, Rig Veda speaks of tattvas, or, it also speaks of heavenly realms, or Sapta Disha. So oral history texts around early Vedic literature, it includes understanding or presence of Hindu astrology. And ancient astrology, offers a very contrasting case to our organization of knowledge, illustrating the artificial, historically specific nature of boundaries between knowledge and pseudo-knowledge. Barton speaks of it. So as per the Vedas, and again, Jyotish again gets divided into Ganit, that is the mathematical, Siddhant, that is related with knowledge, the Ganit and the Falit. So there are two categories Jyotish gets divided into, Ganit and Falit. Falit is associated with the prediction, how you make predictions from the calculations that you have gathered through the Ganit aspect. And the Ganit is the aspect, or the space that deals with astronomy and its application to astrology, whereas the Falit part of astrology is the predictive aspect, wherein your astrologers actually identify. Firstly, they have to calculate the, on the basis of your, so it's also, if somebody would want to understand it, it's also related to how your destiny gets created. So astrology believes that a destiny is created on the basis of the time you are born and the place. So the time also technically includes the date that you are born. So the time, date, along with the place of birth, and not only of an individual, of an animal, or of nations, and this is what one of this is the upcoming areas of astrology, that, you know, astrology is extremely instrumental in political space, in economical spaces, financial matters. I'm sure you would have read the news of the NSE director being involved she mentioned that she was taking consultation from a yogi from Himalayas, but obviously astrology was not a part there. But astrology does play a very strong role in ascertaining the future of not only an individual, but future of industries, futures of nations. So yes, this is something which is very, very central to understanding of astrology.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, in movies and all, while watching movies and all, we often used to hear this word, Kundli. I mean, though many people watching and listening might not really know what's the significance of it, and at least majority might know the significance of it. So what really is Kundli and how is it related to astrology in that sense? Yeah.
Okay, so I mentioned, why the details like time of birth, place of birth, and date, they're important, because these three pieces of information, they help you create a horoscope. And Kundli is a horoscope. Mm. So horoscope is like a chart that is prepared. And that chart helps the astrologer, and also, you know, if somebody is a layperson with limited information around astrology, it helps them to understand that when they were born, you know, planets were in which position. So a Kundli has 12 houses, and each of these 12 houses, it represents a part of your life. So the very first house of the Kundli represents the self. And so these 12 houses, each one is trying to describe your career, your family relation, your marital relations, your siblings, your material and immaterial possessions, your education. So everything can be determined from these 12 houses based on which planet was present in which house. And also, you know, again, another very, very, very crucial aspect is that it's not only limited to the presence of planets in those houses, also what you have to take into consideration, the degrees of those planets. So this is why the Ganit aspect, the entire calculation that goes into constructing a Kundli, that it's not only the mere presence of the planet, you also have to see the planet was at which degree, or will it be a beneficial planetary position, or will it have any significant losses for the individual? All these aspects are uncovered by looking at a Kundli. And as you mentioned, these Kundlis become a very important they are very important, especially during the times of marriages. I remember in several interviews that were conducted as a part of this research, in earlier times, people said that, you know, they especially in Haryana, they said that they never really matched Kundlis. Reason was that nobody used to record the timing of the birth. And Kundli requires a very precise timing of the birth. However, now it has become a practice that you need to have a Kundli in place and in order to, you know, avert any kind of problems. And not only, I should mention here, it's not only related to marital alliances anymore. It's also related to political alliances. You know, it's also corporate alliances. If you are being hired at a very, very crucial and important position, so the placement of your charts is of interest to a few in the country.
Yeah, and that is where the aspect of what you have mentioned in the book, also the gemstones, What role does gemstone play in that aspect? Yeah.
So again, you know, it varies. And there are people, there are astrologers who say that gemstones are very important. Mm. And there are astrologers who feel gemstones are not really that important. Because basically, gemstones are a part of, if I may refer to it, as a remedial part of astrology. So astrology has two parts. One is the predictive part. Astrology will help you predict, you know, the good and the bad. And the second part of the astrology is remedial. Also provide you with suggestive remedies to either elevate the good part or to, you know, decrease the potency of anything negative. So gemstones are part of remedial astrology, wherein they believe that a particular color component, because each planet is associated with a particular kind of a color. And in order to enhance the power of a particular planet, in order to, you know, seek blessings or seek positive results from a particular planet, astrologers suggest you to wear a particular gemstone, because they feel that the rays of the sun actually travel through that particular gemstone, and it enhances the power of your body, your fate, and so you should use gemstones. Whereas others feel that it can simply be enhanced by not relying on gemstones. But again, gemstones, some astrologers say that they are made of a certain kind of mineral composition. And so you can't really substitute mineral composition by wearing, let's say, a yellow thread. You need to have, a yellow stone that is either a sapphire or a sonalia. I think their lower substitutes are also available in the market. There's an economy around these gemstones in India.
Yeah. So coming to the leaf aspect of it, right? You have mentioned that astrology is something which needs a tedious process to learn, and it's not something which is easy to be learned or understood in a very small time, or, you know, it has a lot of knowledge inside it. So who can be an astrologist, and what are the processes course into becoming an astrologer in a sense?
See, I don't know. See, I think what we are having, I don't know if you've ever tried to do this search on your own, but you would have come across several advertisements popping on the internet. Mm-hmm. Become an astrologer, learn tarot card reading. Now, tarot card reading, palmistry, and all these things are separate from astrology. Mm-hmm. There are several young astrologers who are trying to disrupt the way that one should look at astrology. So they are also coming up with their channels, mm, wherein they are parting information or parting knowledge, you know, imparting knowledge on what is the meaning of a particular conjunction of planets. Mm. So I really can't see. I don't know who can become an astrologer. It depends on a person's. It's a tendency. If you do have a tendency toward, you know, towards astrology, it's just you want to pursue. It's like one of the question I wanted to have, or I have dealt with it in my research, is what do astrologers associate it with? Is it a calling for them? Because many of them feel that, you know, they want to really help other people identify problems. Or is it a vocation? Right, because it's also a source of their livelihood. Their livelihood is sustained on this practice of astrology. So I think it's entirely depends on the choice. I can't really say who can become an astrologer, because especially in current times, there are so many astrologers, and I honestly doubt the efficacy of of who's good or who's not good. And there is, because see, it's not astrology in India is not a system that is under under a radar, because it is there are no research. Obviously there are researches around astrology that happen. Lal Bahadur Shastri University in Delhi, it is, I think, having courses around astrology. undergraduate and postgraduate courses around astrology. But still, there's a very limited research around astrology, especially when you see India. There has been such a long tradition of using astrological knowledge, but still very limited research. So I really don't know who can or who should be an astrologer. But yes, as an individual, if I may say that, you know, because this discipline requires a certain kind of dedication and commitment, you know, it will also, if we can have some kind of a check to kind of, you know, skim through quacks from genuine astrologers, I think that will help a lot of people, because there are astrologers who would, you know, give remedies which cost like a bomb for many people, you know. So, yes, I mean, I don't know who can be an astrologer. I think it's about an individual choice. But yes, some kind of an integrity check or, you know, an authority kind of affirmation would help.
As you mentioned, the aspect of astrology is booming in that aspect, and people are kind of becoming an astrologer in that sense. So since we are talking about India, the caste aspect is also important here in that sense, because of the demarcation of osmotic process of knowledge in that sense, and also of the sense that caste plays an important role, and also at the same time, the process of Sanskritization is also there in that sense. So how does this gem together in the process of astrology and in its relation to caste in that sense? Yeah.
Kind of attempt to answer this question, in traditional India, astrological knowledge was limited to Brahmins, because they were the ones who had access to Sanskrit, and the text available around astrology was in Sanskrit. However, when post-independence, the entire process of secularization that began, it kind of also, there was a secularization around knowledge also. So knowledge that used to be earlier, especially the Sanskrit, it had hegemony of Brahmins. But as, you know, institutions, schools came into being, this Sanskrit was, it was taught at school levels also. So it was, you know, available for everybody and not exclusively for a particular caste or a group of people. I remember interviewing one of the astrologers, and I had this question around the caste aspect of astrology. So one of the astrologers mentioned in their discussion that, you know, in today's time, everybody can become an astrologer. And this particular astrologer also quoted specific caste names, that, you know, it's across the caste system. You know, so-and-so is becoming an astrologer, so-and-so, you know, everybody's becoming an astrologer. However, there was another astrologer who was not a Brahmin, and he said that, you know, it's an astrologer, if I use his own terminology here, he said, janam se nahi, karam se Brahman hona chahiye. So an astrologer should not be, again, either bringing in the caste aspect and the notion of purity here, that they wanted to associate Brahmanism with. So he said that astrologer should necessarily not be from a specific caste, but he or she has to, again, behave or be in accordance with a certain caste way of living.
Yeah. As you have also talked about, astrology is something which is kind of not dying down. It's kind of booming and people are going to it. So you also mentioned about many reasons as to why people are going to it. And you also talk about in the book about suffering, well-being and fear and all of those aspects and all. So why do you think the people are, I mean, it's still growing? Why do you think it's still growing and then people are really going to it? Is it like working for the people who are going to it, and or there are some other aspects to it? Yeah.
I think somewhere let's accept it. I'm not asking let's accept, as in both of us accept this reality, but astrology is a significant part of all our lives. And not, I'm not talking about only the consulting aspect of it. If you look at Hindu households across the country, be it in North, South, we have been using not the regular Western calendar. We use a Hindu calendar, which is called a Panchang almanac, which tells us about tithis or important muhurts that would be coming, all around the year. So, and the consulting aspect of astrology is still majorly around, important life events. And these important or crucial life events are of, birth, marriage, also around, the ceremony or the ritual of Namkaran, when you are, planning to name the child. So yes, birth, Namkaran, marriage, death. Again, death becomes a time where you are consulting the Pandit to identify, suitable muhurats to perform the puja for the deceased. So I don't, you see, if you feel that the times that we are living in, which is scientific or which is based on scientific temperament of reasoning and rationality, and astrology is considered to be something that is opposing to this scientific temperament and rationality, I think this is the basic fault with this premise. Astrology is not something that is unscientific or non-scientific. There were questions, or astrology as a discipline, as a knowledge system, and astrologers as practitioners are not looking at any kind of legitimacy from sciences. They do not want any kind of credits or any kind of approvals or sanctions here. It existed, it continues to exist. It's just that, that people do not want to accept and admit the role of astrology in their lives, simply because of, they feel that, it might make them a center for laughter, or they might be ridiculed for believing in something that people feel is a pseudoscience, or it is a hoax. So I think astrology will continue, rather it will thrive. And now as a means, it has always figured out means to survive. And even if I remind you here, you remember there was a period of demonetization that had struck India. And earlier astrologers used to, the exchange of services used to take place in terms of cash. And I remember during that period when I was interviewing astrologers, meeting them, I said, how have you, made this transition? So they had started taking bank transfers. They had started accepting Paytm payments. So again, there's a means of survival. It's also like this routinization of Weber's concept of routinization of charisma. Here, it's also routinization of your practices in order to remain, up to date. So now astrology is available. Astrological applications are available. You download from Google, you download from your app store. So it's just one click away. It's on your palm. So it's also revamping. Astrology is not the same archaic system. It is kind of reshaping itself and, kind of adapting to the current trends.
Yeah, you also have a good discussion on technology and astrology in your book. So that was quite interesting. Yes. Coming to my last question, it is about, it was interesting to see pandemic and astrology. You're discussing pandemic and astrology. When I was, let me just tell you something. When I was doing my field work in Nagaland itself for my PhD work, I was talking with a Christian who kind of, a lady who kind of see visions and futures and all of those things, right? So I was talking to her, and then when we were discussing about so many things, she mentioned about pandemic, and she says that, you know, pandemic is mentioned here in the Bible, it's here. And then she was like picking up the passages and telling me about why, you know, why pandemic, this pandemic is meant to happen, and why we people never read the Bible, that's why we don't know that the pandemic is coming, and all of those aspects where we were discussing about. And that is where the pandemic and astrology also becomes very interesting. So what we're discussing is that we're emerging during the time of pandemic in the area of astrology. Yeah.
I remember this book was in pipeline since 2019, actually. So this draft was accepted by Taylor and Francis Rutledge. They accepted the draft in 2019, January. So it was, so this kind of, you know, the process of publication was rather a long one. And by the time the book came out, so I realized that I have to include a section on pandemic as well, because I have to make the work relevant. And at that point in time, there was this looming anxiety. There was fearless, I will not call it fearlessness, but there was this, you know, the extreme fear that had, you know, gripped many households. This fear was around, obviously, the health aspect, around, again, because, you know, with the complete lockdown and shutdown, it impacted livelihoods of professionals. You know, there were pay cuts, children were not going to school, colleges were shut. So it kind of impacted all the aspects of our life. And this started creating, you know, more and more, I would say it actually kind of added fuel to this fear, which grew magnificently around the COVID time. And people became anxious about their jobs, their relationships, you know, their health of their, you know, health and well-being of their families. And so, you know, when astrologers was when they were not available, you know, for meetups or, you know, for physical consultation, so they started having these telephonic consultations or consultations through Skype, through WhatsApp video calls. And this kind of made me realize that, you know, astrology is actually more of this space or avenue for people to seek for answers, to look for answers that they are otherwise not able to you know, identify on their own, or for, you know, and to look for these answers, they seek astrologers. And, you know, because astrology is also mediated by these astrologers. They are the ones who are able to tell us that this is astrology. So our understanding of astrology depends majorly on what astrologers tell us. So astrologers at that point in time, you know, it was a, I would be asked by people that, you know, what does your astrology tells you? When will this pandemic end? And I said, I'm not an astrologer, I'm a sociologist. And most of the time they've also faced this concern that, oh, please look at my palm and tell me what my future holds. And I was like, no, astrology, obviously palmistry and astrology are related, but astrology and palmistry are different. And you have to understand, I'm a sociologist here who's just trying to understand the patterns. And I'm not a qualified astrologer who can predict your future or tell you what lies ahead. But during pandemic, astrology did to a great extent. It provided a certain kind of comfort to people, because it kind of, you know, I conveyed it to them that you have to wait for, you know, certain weeks or certain months. And that kind of helped them develop patience, also made them, you know, prepare for blasphemy, which would be awaiting them. So it did play a significant role. And that's why, as I mentioned at the beginning of our talk as well, that during pandemic, there were certain applications, web-based applications and websites that had a huge turnover. because the teleconsultation had increased many folds.
Interesting. Yeah. I've asked my last question. And is there anything that you think that I've missed out that you need to say very important about the book?
One aspect, I think I missed on this particular aspect. I think two aspects. One is how I actually came across not only the caste aspect, but also the gender aspect. There were very few women astrologers. Now, there were many women tarot card readers, or now you also have these coffee cup readings or coffee mug readings, and but very, very few women astrologers, because apparently it was considered to be more of a you know, men's area of work, because it required a certain amount of dedication or time, and you know, it was not easy for women to give that time, because again, they have the responsibility of family as well. So this was the response that I received from the field. And again, this was a gendered aspect. And again, very important aspect was how actually astrology helps people, or rather kind of facilitates their aspirations. So it becomes an agent for many, many people to fulfill their aspirations. So this, again, these two aspects, I think, have been dealt with in the book. And also, you know, I've tried to, for every reading from, or every data that, you know, I collected from the field, I have situated, or I have located that data into, you know, into dominant sociological theories or dominant sociological works, just to contextualize that understanding within the discipline boundaries. So for astrology also, how it is somewhat, you know, similar to Giddens' understanding of what expert systems are. And I tried to understand astrology through Giddens' concept of expert systems.
Yeah, it's quite important that you have pointed those out. And also to the listeners, I think to get more insight on our conversation, I think you should get the book and then read through it. And there are many, many case studies. And also in the methodological aspects, since New Book Network podcasts are listened by these, majority of them are scholars in that aspect, will be very interested in the methodological aspect also, apart from the case studies and all of the detailing in the book itself. So thank you very much, Dr. Yadav, for being here. And tell me about your future projects or any other interesting work that is ahead of you. Yeah.
As of now, I am thinking of working around, again, you know, the broader spectrum of my work will be centered around well-being, because religion, earlier interplay of faith and fear was around religion, astrology. Again, you know, people would say it's a part of sociology of religion or anthropology of religion domain. Currently, I'm interested in working around disruptions in tourism sector. How the entire digital change, or you know, the technological disruptions around tourism, aviation, it impacted social lives, and also, you know, society in general. So yeah, this is what I'm really currently reading around. So future work or future research would be around tourism and well-being.
Quite exciting work ahead of you. And if anyone wants to reach out to you regarding your work, your institution email will be the best way, right? Or any other?
Yes. So my email ID is nupurnima.yadav@gmail.com, nupurnima.yadav@gmail.com. And also this monograph will be of great benefit to students who are interested in culture studies, in sociology of medicine, also, you know, the gender, I think, is now part of almost all major sociological works. So yes, it will be relevant to also these students: sociology of medicine, culture studies, political and economic sociology as well, because there is an entire industry that is developing around astrology.
Yeah, and not forgetting people from my field, also anthropology is a must for anthropologists too.
Absolutely, anthropology. Anthropology and sociology cannot be dissected. Yeah. And especially for me, I think I owe a lot to anthropology because my professor, my supervisor, she is a trained anthropologist, Professor Nilika Mehrotra. Yeah. She's a trained anthropologist. And so yes, my one of the major reasons that my work has an influence and blend of both anthropological and sociological theories is because of her.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Yadav. It's been a pleasure having you here and such a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You had, I must thank you for, reading out and taking so much of interest in the book, coming up with very, very insightful questions, with that made me also think and go back to what I had work on. Thank you for having me. It was a wonderful discussion.
Yeah, and take care. Yeah.